This week on The Word of the Lord Endures Forever, we continue our walk through Genesis in chapters 40 and 41, picking up with interpretations belong to God, the baker's dream, Pharaoh's dream, Joseph finally remembered, and the dreams are one. Join me, Pastor Will Wheaton, for The Word of the Lord Endures Forever, your daily 15-minute verse-by-verse Bible study on demand. Listen at thewordendures.org or your favorite podcast provider.
Oh Lord, open my lips,
and my mouth shall declare your praise. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen.
A reading from Acts chapter 24. And when the governor had nodded to him to speak, Paul replied, "Knowing that for many years you have been a judge over this nation, I cheerfully make my defense. You can verify that it is not more than 12 days since I went up to worship in Jerusalem, and they did not find me disputing with anyone or stirring up a crowd, either in the temple or in the synagogues or in the city. Neither can they prove to you that what they now bring up against me. But this I confess to you, that according to the way, which they call a sect, I worship the God of our fathers, believing everything laid down by the law and written in the prophets, having a hope in God, which these men themselves accept, that there will be a resurrection of both the just and the unjust. So I always take pains to have a clear conscience toward both God and man. Now, after several years, I came to bring alms to my nation and to present offerings. While I was doing this, they found me purified in the temple without any crowd or tumult. But some Jews from Asia, they ought to be here before you and make an accusation should they have anything against me. Or else let these men themselves say what wrongdoing they found when I stood before the council. Other than this one thing that I cried out while standing among them, it is with respect to the resurrection of the dead that I am on trial before you this day. But Felix, having a rather accurate knowledge of the way, put them off, saying, when Lysias the tribune comes down, I will decide your case. Then he gave orders to the centurion that he should be kept in custody, but have some liberty, and that none of his friends should be prevented from attending to his needs. O Lord, have mercy on us. In many and various ways, God spoke to his people of old by the prophets.
But now, in these last days, he has spoken to us by his Son.
Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. Yesterday, we endured the Sadducees' invasive questions regarding the resurrection. If a woman had seven husbands who were brothers, each married to her in turn, then all died without issue, whose wife will she be at the resurrection, since she had had seven husbands? Now, I'm sorry, but I think the Sadducees were poking fun at the resurrection, neither believing that doctrine themselves, and trying to make Jesus look silly because he obviously does believe it. Oh yes, there is a resurrection of the dead, Jesus all but teaches in this passage, but those considered worthy of taking part in that age will neither marry nor be given in marriage, but will be like the angels, being sons of the resurrection. So, not only will there be a resurrection of the dead, but there are angels too. Take that, you faith-denying Sadducees. You who are only too happy to make deals even with the Romans to gain the upper hand. So, Jesus proves the doctrine by pointing out that their Moses demonstrated that the dead arise. For at the burning bush, he stated that Yahweh is the God of Abraham and Isaac and Jacob. He is not the God of the dead at all, but of the living, and unto him all are alive. That was yesterday at the divine service for those of you that heard the appointed gospel for Pentecost 22, Series C. It would be interesting to poll what your respective pastors did with that text homiletically, it being rather difficult and involved. Today, please notice that the resurrection again figures prominently in the text, which serves as the basis of today's chapel service. Paul is on trial before Governor Felix, and Tertullus, the prosecuting attorney, has just spoken representing the Jews. He pulls out all of the rhetorical stops, and the Greek is quite involved throughout this entire chapter. "We have found this man to be a plague, one who stirs up riots among all the Jews throughout the world, and is a ringleader of the sect of the Nazarenes. He even tried to profane the temple, but we seized him. By examining him yourself, you will be able to find out from him about everything that we accuse him of." Acts 24, 5 to 8. Paul's reply, which is no less rhetorically astute, constitutes the bulk of today's passage, which you have already heard, and there's no reason to rehash everything. Still, several things stand out. For example, the apostle's statement that he cheerfully makes his defense before Felix and the accusers, that the accusers did not find him disputing with anyone nor stirring up a crowd, neither in the temple nor in the synagogues nor throughout the city. Paul's confession before Felix and the others was that he had done nothing, no more than worship the God of their fathers, same as the opponents did, and that there shall be a resurrection of both the just and of the unjust. Paul had done more than desire to possess a blameless conscience before God and his fellow man. He had done no more than bring alms for his nation and present offerings in the temple, not making a ruckus. If the Asian Jews felt so strongly about the matter, they should be there in person to bolster their case against him. The fact that they weren't there indicates that they were the troublemakers and sowers of discord, not he. This is how Paul presents himself. In all his defense, the apostle presents himself as a kind of model for the courageous confessors and advocates of the gospel that we need to be emulating during these dark and perilous times. For example, take Dr. Päivi Räasänen, if I'm pronouncing her name correctly, defendant of the Bible tweet case, simply because she has had the temerity to present what the Bible consistently teaches about the abomination of same-sex marriage. She has been a defendant for 6 years, twice exonerated, but now is under attack again. Much rides on this. If the Supreme Court of Finland convicts her for hate speech, she will be subject to a 10,000 euro fine and sanctions of the European Court of Human Rights, which is enough to cause faithful pastors and any Christian to evade proclaiming publicly what the Holy Scripture says in this matter. But taking a cue from St. Paul, Dr. Räasänen might cheerfully make her defense. The word translated cheerfully means to do so in good spirits, according to the editor of BDAG. That is, there is no getting her down, nor can one repress the resurrection. She and the Bishop Ahola are not going to back down no matter what they do to them, come what may. That is because the truth of the gospel is at stake, and preachers such as I, and you if you are a pastor, charged to preach and teach publicly, need to magnify the truth of God's word on human sexuality unflinchingly throughout the world and not slink away to more safe topics like the comfortable themes that Lutherans typically like, for example. There's a fighting spirit to such preaching, in other words, fueled by this is by the martyrs and heroes of the Christian religion. But the truly irrepressible nature of Paul's defense before Felix and his accusers is the way it ends. It is with respect to the resurrection of the dead that I am on trial before you this day, Paul says in Acts 24:21. See, Paul all but says at the climactic point of his peroration, I stand with my Lord Jesus Christ in what was his knockdown, drag-out fight with the Sadducees who deny the resurrection. This was to be no rising up of the nation of Israel at the eschaton, as Judaism mistakenly teaches. It is rather the anticipation of the great resurrection of the dead, even as Paul reposed upon our Lord Jesus Christ's victory over death and the grave. Where, O death, is thy victory? Where, O death, is thy sting? Paul knew that he would be raised because Jesus is risen, and thus every Christian in his train. So sing it with me if you know the words. This is the first full day of the Good Shepherd Institute, so there should be no holding back on your part. Therefore, belt out the words if you know them. Jesus lives the victory won. Now the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Amen. Amen.
Yeah.
Let us pray. Living God, your almighty power is made known chiefly in showing mercy and pity. Grant us the fullness of your grace to lay hold of your promises and live forever in your presence. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Heavenly Father, God of all grace, waken our hearts that we may never forget your blessings, but steadfastly thank and praise you for all your goodness, that we may live in your fear, until with your saints we praise you eternally in your heavenly kingdom. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Heavenly Father, almighty and everlasting God, you have safely brought us to the beginning of this day. Defend us in the same with your mighty power, and grant that this day we fall into no sin, neither run into any kind of danger, but that all our doings, being ordered by your governance, may be righteous in your sight. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
Taught by our Lord and trusting his promises, we are bold to pray.
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come. Thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
Let us bless the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The Lord Almighty bless us and direct our days and our deeds in his peace.
Amen.